I've so enjoyed the time. The spirit of this place is electric. Last night was crazy. You guys were crazy. I didn't want to say what I most personally connected with last night was the awkward turtle. Where's my awkward turtle girl? All right, just tell me how I'm doing.
Oh my gosh. Gosh.
I'm bringing it back to Florida. I'm bringing it back. And who do I owe the credit? What's your name? Ileana.
Yes, Ileana.
Hey, Ileana. I won't forget. Nor will the world.
No, you know what was funny.
You know, just on a serious note, I really appreciate those who've come up to me and have let me know how the servants have encouraged them. You know, you really don't know when you're preaching who you're hitting and how it's hitting them. And I told the leadership group before we started this whole thing that normally the things that people tell me are not the things I expected them to tell me. And it's a reminder to me that God moves through these and it has very little to do with the people that are speaking. So be reminded of that. Whatever you aspire to, it's rarely your talent or your skill that makes it impactful. It's God using you. And a special thank you to Rob and Chelsea, who have been such wonderful hosts. Just been very grateful for the time. I'm going to treasure this. And I'm really grateful for the opportunity and for the trust and the love. The revolution is happening.
Yeah. Come on.
It's in full swing. The title of this morning's lesson is "The Revolution is Live."
All right. Come on.
The revolution is live. Don't you love that picture? Don't we love the idea of revolution? We love this idea. We spoke about it a little bit when we started on Friday night. And I want to show you a clip from my favorite movie. It's at the beginning. Pedro knows of what I speak.
Isn't it Patriot?
Right? And my man Mark's making sure the audio's cranking. It just gets me feeling like something's about to happen. We love this stuff, and so I wanna catch the moment a little bit. On that line.
Yeah.
What we do in life echoes in eternity. And he has this like British accent which makes it better. I didn't want to mar the quote by trying. We watch that stuff and we just feel like, go watch that movie. You know, let's do something. We love revolution. I have one point. If the revolution is live in your life, then you have to live the revolution. The one point is live the revolution. You know, we get hyped by all kinds of things. This group in particular. I walked in last night and people were like freaking out. It was like, woo! You know, people were, and Rob was excited about this like 5 months ago. I was like, I can't wait for you to see this. And I see why now. There's an excitement.
Come on.
You know, we don't just get hyped about stuff like that. We get excited about spiritual things. When we hear a sermon that hits us, we get excited about that.
Come on, bro.
When we hear a great song, I hear God singing to me with that Nigerian drum. And that guitar work and that band coming in. I love that song. We get excited about great stories, don't we?
Yeah.
We love, and those, I'll tell you what, for those of you who came up here to share your testimonies, you did a fabulous job.
Yeah.
I feel like you brought to life, and we can hear that, and we're like, oh, I love that. Here's the thing, though. We love hearing it. However, I don't find a lot of people who love living it. And they're very different things. It's easy to spectate, and it's hard to participate. This is not a spectator sport.
Come on, bro.
The revolution is rarely glamorous. This seems glamorous. But I'm going to tell you something. This is a very small piece of what I do.
Right.
And this isn't really a good example of what I do. I'm happy to do it. I love doing it. But most of the revolution is not spent on stage in front of a couple hundred people.
Come on, bro.
It's in your room alone. It's in the secret life.
Right.
Which I spoke to the men about.
Yeah.
We don't like it. It's not glamorous. It's the place where character is formed when nobody's watching. Mm-hmm. We participate when we deny our most selfish, basic desires on a daily basis. Sometimes we don't like that about the revolution.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't seem epic. You know, no one's clapping for us. Imagine if somebody just followed you around all day. Doing that? Talk to that girl! You might do it because you're like, relax. Really intense. Now, some of you have that conscience. You might need to get some counseling. By the way, I've done, and it changed my life.
Right.
Let it be known. You participate in the revolution when you do the small things, the brave things that require courage. That's what the revolution is all about. That's how you live it. You know, the revolution is live. Are you missing it? It's happening right now. About to happen.
Right.
That's been going on for a while. People have been living and dying for the revolution for a long time. You were born into a legacy of the revolution. Are you going to continue it on? Only you know the answer to that question. I don't know the answer for you. What's our job anyway? Well, one thing that's interesting, first of all, before I tell you and remind you what we spoke about, I don't know if this picture is actually a great example of what the revolution is. This is awesome. I don't know who that guy is. Not sure what flag that is. I'm not trying to make a political statement. That's why I grayed it out the first night. I think the revolution is more appropriately seen in that picture, though. Because that's more accurate. No one's around. It's just you and the mountain you're climbing.
Right.
Maybe that's a better picture.
Right.
The revolution is right there. Can you see yourself sitting there? And, you know, when you sit down in front of the Bible every morning, or however often you read, we don't often sit down and be like, time to participate in the revolution. You know? We're like, I gotta do this because Rob and Chelsea keep telling me it's gonna change my life, you know? It will. I think that's a better representation of what the revolution is. And remember what the revolution is all about. You are proving that the only way you can find fulfillment and salvation is through God alone.
Come on, bro.
The enemy's music is that salvation and fulfillment can be found outside of God. That's what the rebellion is all about. Are you participating in it? And you know, words are powerful, but they don't last very long.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the truth, and I feel humbled to this fact. Some of you may have felt impacted by these lessons, and I hope to the Lord that is true. Here's the thing. You're not going to remember a lot of what I said in the week. In the year, if you remember anything, it's one or two things. In 10 years, maybe one if it really hits you. And this is not like a self-deprecating thing. That's kind of the truth. Like, we hear a lot of sermons. You know, we need a lot of sermons. Because it doesn't take very long for us to blow it again.
Right.
But the words aren't going to change you forever.
Yeah.
And you know what? Words won't convince you forever.
Yeah.
The most convincing thing you can do to help other people find God and to remind yourself to follow Him is to live it every day.
Come on.
I'm telling you, the evidence of your life is so much louder than the words of a sermon and lasts so much longer. You know what can I share a pet peeve with you? You may take offense. That's on you, right? Proverbs say it is in one's glory to overlook an offense, so pay attention to that. Some of you love posting really wonderful quotes on Facebook. I don't have a problem with that. You know, quotes like this. The only way to see a rainbow is to look through the rainbow. Some of you are like, it's so true in my life.
That's so funny.
You know what it is, amen? Unknown author, good for probably her. Women are just smarter than that, right? So, what about this one? You know, every epic quote has to have a silhouette of somebody jumping on a mountain.
Yeah. Right,
it's always
right.
Really dangerous, and you're like, how did this end?
Right.
Like this one.
Right.
Dance like no one is watching. Sing like no one is listening. In love.
Like you've never been hurt.
Is that a song?
I don't know.
That's a song there.
You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
They post, and then, you know, I'm kind of like, man, nobody's saying anything to this because they're just going to encourage them. Sure enough, it's like 10, like, heart cry emoji, happy emoji. You know, you're like, come on, man, like, don't encourage it. And, you know, look, great quotes are great quotes. Here is what I'm bothered. Is a lot of people I see doing this, there's no weight to the quote because I'm not convinced by their secret life. Doesn't mean anything to me. In fact, it tells me something that they're not trying to explain. Is that I'm all words and no walk.
Wow.
Man, are you the quote master on social media, but your life doesn't quote anything?
Wow.
Oh man, when there's no weight to it, I just get bothered by it. Or when people get really upset and blustery on social media, but then you see them and they're like, they're like, what the heck? Like, why do you care so much about that? You don't talk about God like that at all. Mm. Man, it drives me crazy.
Come on, bro.
It's a pet peeve of mine.
Keep it real.
Hebrews chapter 12.
Come on.
And then turn one page back, because where I really want you to go is Hebrews chapter 11.
I love this.
Unplanned. I was winging that. Hebrews 11. You know, we're really going to look at one scripture today, and we're going to learn three lessons from the verse.
Come on.
But to really understand the scriptures, we have to look at what comes right before it. Hebrews chapter 11 is a well-known passage. If you've just been around for a little bit, stick around a little longer, and you're going to hear this a lot. And you know what? We should hear it a lot. Because we need chapter 11 of Hebrews.
Yes.
Especially because most of you guys are like, yeah, I don't know any what Hebrews says, but chapter 11 is my jam. Like chapter 4, I'm like, I don't know. But chapter 11, come on, man. I get that. Right, the Faith Hall of Fame. These men and women of faith did amazing things. And really, in summary, look at verse 32.
Come on.
What more shall I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, and they refused to be released so that they might gain a bed of resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These are all commended for what? Their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. God planned something better for us, so that together with us would they be made perfect. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's read together. Starting in verse 1, and we're going to take this piece by piece. Let's read the whole thing together first. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. Sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary, so that you will not lose heart. Verse 1. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let's stop there. What is this verse all about?
Come on, help us out.
We're going to figure it out together, and we're going to talk about how it helps us live the revolution. Because this verse is all about how to live the revolution. And the revolution is live. We're missing it if we're not paying attention, so let's learn how to live it right now.
Come on, bro.
What is this great cloud of witnesses? For a long time, this is the picture that came to mind. We think about we're running a race, and we're running, and we're running, and we get in the stadium at the end of the marathon, everybody's like, let's go! For those of you doing the wall sit, how much did it help that there were like 20 people screaming in your face? I walked around and I was like, it's in your head. It's in your head. It's all mental. And it's like, you all heard that from me if you made it to the end, probably. It's in your head. And I was like, in my mind, I was like, it might be a little bit in your legs, but mostly it's in your head. Kind of pump you up. It gets us going. It keeps us going. And this is what we think this verse is about. Keep going. The angels in heaven, the people that went before us cheering us on. But you know what? That's actually not what this verse is about. I like that idea, and I'm not saying it's not true. This verse is about something else. Actually, it's about the courtroom of God. We're surrounded by a great... What is a witness?
Come on.
Someone who has seen something, maybe experienced it. In a court of law, an eyewitness is the ultimate testimony. If someone saw it, and it can be corroborated by two or three or four people, it's in the bag. It's a done deal. Because it's been seen. It's been experienced. This scripture is not about being cheered in the stadium. It's about sitting in a court of law, in God's courtroom, and watching as person after person comes forward and testifies to God's faithfulness.
Wow.
Picture the scene. Who is sitting in the crowd? Who are these men and women? That's the first question. Well, we know the names. Moses, Abraham, David, Mary Magdalene. As my wife spoke about, I'm sure quite eloquently, the other day. Mary, the mother of Jesus, Peter, Paul, are heroes who have gone before us. They're sitting there, and one by one, they're called to the stand. And they're asked, tell me about your life. How powerful would that be? We're going to talk a little bit more about that. This is who they were, right? These people were sawed in two. They were put to death. Some were being tortured, and they say, do not release me. Finish it. Hey, whoa. That's intense.
Yeah.
They're eyewitnesses to God's faithfulness. They're eyewitnesses to the mission statement of their rebellion, that the only way to find salvation and fulfillment is God alone. That his promises are always true. That if you live it, his promises will be true, and he will bless you. They have that in common, and they prove to us that he is faithful. All these people were pushed to the breaking point of their faith and didn't break. They didn't conform. They didn't coddle. They didn't sway. They didn't shake. World changers. You know, I picture God's faithfulness being put to the test. People saying, how do we know that if we live this life, these things will come true? What proof do you have? And the judge calls forth Moses. And Moses stepped forward, and what does he say? I watched an ocean split in two. Have you seen that?
Wow.
He says, and I heard God speak to me. I spent 40 days alone with God on a mountain on fire. All right. Okay. Well said. Then Abraham is called forward. Can you testify? God promised me my whole life I would have a son and that nations would come from it. You know when I had that son? How old was I? I was 100 years old. This is not a possible thing, says science. And yet God is true and he is faithful and he never lies.
Right.
Think of who he would ask to step forward. He has David step forward. When I was alone with the sheep, I killed the lion and the bear with my bare hands. Mm. The lion came, took my sheep. I went and I grabbed the sheep from its mouth. It turned on me. I struck it down. Mm. You think a guy's strong enough to punch a lion to death? No. A God-powered punch? No problem. When Goliath stepped forward and all the Israelites were quaking in fear, I threw a rock at this guy and killed him. Talk about testifying to God's goodness. Mm. Mary Magdalene steps forward. Mm. My life was in shambles. I was possessed by multiple demons. And Jesus saved me with a touch. Mm. Man, jeez. That's powerful stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
How about your life? What if God chose you to testify to his faithfulness? Would you be able to step forward and say, you know what, I'm not even going to speak. Just watch the tape of my life.
Wow.
Watch the secret hidden camera in my room for a year. And then you tell me if you think I think God is real. Mm. Do you think I believe in the revolution? Or would I see your life and say, this guy doesn't really believe in the rebellion. He only believes it when he's around other people. She only believes it when it's easy. Is that what your life would say? Mm. Your life is what's going to convince me that God's plan works. And maybe at first, I'm convinced by your words, but if I'm going to do this for 60 years, you better believe I better believe it.
Yeah.
Because that's a long time to live, and that's a lot of opportunity to walk away.
Yeah.
The second verse. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Doesn't sin entangle us so easily?
Yeah.
Like a deer caught in a noose. Like a bird in a snare. Like an ox to the slaughter, so says Proverbs 7 that we spoke about first night. Sin hinders the revolution's movement. It stalls progress. It destroys potential and it kills people. Mm. There's no doubt in my mind in a group this size, with Christians as young as we are, that there are not people entangled in sin. Mm. Just swimming in it. Sin warps your mind, it mutates your view of God and people, it poisons you against each other. It's insidious, destructively contagious, and ultimately dangerous. It will kill you, it will poison you, and it will infect the people around you. And you know why we keep doing it? Because Satan, you know what it says? When he lies, he speaks his native tongue.
Yeah.
Satan is a liar. And what he's telling you is that that thing will fulfill you.
Mm, come on.
No matter how many times life proves it will not fulfill you, we keep doing it because we keep listening to the enemy. That music is so seductive. And you keep doing it time and again. It's a lie. That won't fulfill you. The way people feel about you won't fulfill you. Praying so people can see you. Serving so people can see you. Jesus says you have received your reward in full. When people clap for you, it's all you're going to get. If that's why you're doing it. There's no reward in heaven. Some of us we just don't want to let go. The truth is I don't have to go through all of Galatians 5 and 2 Timothy 3 and tell you all the things. You know what? Even if this is your first time here, I believe that for the majority of people, your conscience will tell you.
Right.
And for those of you that have been here, you have no excuse. You know exactly what's stopping you. And you know what the first step is? Confession.
Right.
If you want to throw off what's hindering you, you have to confess. And then the beautiful, refreshing times of repentance will come. Repentance is refreshing. Some of you, you know you have to throw sin away. So you pull it out and you gear up. After a good sermon that you felt fired you up, and you go up rolling, tuck it away.
Mm.
Save it for later.
Wow.
No one knows you're tucking it away. You do, though.
Mm.
How radical are you?
Wow.
Come on,
about
bro.
Your sin?
Come on.
You cannot live the revolution unless you throw off everything that is hindering you. A relationship you know you have no business in. that's just infecting your life and hurting both of you. Some of you are caught in that. A poisonous addiction. Pornography, masturbation, maybe drugs, maybe alcohol. All kinds of addictions out there. It could be just debauchery. Some type of escape, whether it be a video game or a show or just the computer. We all have our escapes.
Right.
What's holding you back? Throw it off. And you know what? Man, you can do it right now. Repentance happens in a moment. Transformation takes time.
Great point, bro.
But you can choose to repent literally this moment.
Come on.
And then you just prove it with your life. Mm-hmm. That's what the revolution is all about. Mm. And then lastly, let us run with perseverance. Mm. It says, the race marked out. I love this verse. What does he say? Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. This is a tombstone.
Repentance happening a moment ago.
Maybe you noticed that. You know, there's a story of a man in Genesis. His name's Enoch. We don't know a lot about him. But the sentences about his life?
Yeah.
What's written on his tombstone? Enoch walked with God for 300 years and then was no more. If you died today, what's on your tombstone? In a sentence or two, what is written about your life?
Wow.
And not by people who want people to seem like it was that every tombstone, no one's tombstone really has that written on it. You know, that would be discouraging. You know, walked with God when it was easy, gave up when it was hard. Kyle Eastman. 2018.
I'll speak that over
you. Because we don't like that on tombstones. But if we were being honest, that's on a lot of tombstones.
Come on, bro.
What's going to be on yours? Let me give you some options. Loved himself or herself more than God.
Wow.
Maybe that's there. Lived well for 20 years, 2 decades, then forgot his first love. Stop loving like Mary. Complained about his or her hardships. Eventually, she gave up. It's sad. Live without humility. Now she lives no more. If you died today, what's on your tombstone? You know what I want to be on my tombstone? Gave it all. Now it's home.
Amen.
That's what I want.
Come on, bro.
Amen.
Anybody in here ran a marathon? Good for you guys. Wow. Anybody ever run a half marathon? Anybody ever run a 5K? Anybody ever ran? Still working on it? I'm trying, bro. Today's the day I'm going to start. Tomorrow, because I'm tired. Anybody ever ran an Ironman in here? I didn't think so.
Absolutely not.
Ready for it? This is an Ironman. Start with a 2.4 mile swim. How far can you swim?
I can swim.
I'm dying. I remember one time.
No,
I was in my in-laws' house. They have a great pool in the backyard. And I'm feeling kind of like inspired. You know, I just watched like Chariots of Fire or something like that. And so I'm like on the swim or like Deep Blue Sea, you know, like Shark Movie or something. And so I swim some laps. I swim like 25 laps. I'm exhausted because I don't know how to like turn my head when I'm swimming. It's just like all the water's in my nose. It's like nose, nose, nose. And I'm like, ah! So I'm swimming and I'm exhausted after maybe an eighth of a mile. And my father-in-law, who I'm very close to, comes out and he says, oh, you swam. How'd it go? How many did you do? And I'm feeling pretty good. About 25 laps. He's like, okay. And I was like, what does that mean? Okay. You know? I didn't say that. I didn't have the guts to say that. But I was like, yeah. Oh, maybe I should do more. I felt really insecure. I was like, he does way more than me. And it's weird because I feel like I'm in better shape. But he's like freakishly strong. Anyway, speaking from the top here. How far can you swim? That's where it starts. And then do a 112-mile bike ride.
I can't ride a bike. My legs. This is me for my life.
No problem. Please, just give me a road bike. Game time, you know? Just the thin road treads, I'll be fine. How far can your quads go on a bike? And then it's just about done. Just got to run a marathon.
This is sick.
This is not like in a year.
I feel like this isn't right.
Over like your life. You know, in my tombstone's gonna be like Brandon Iron Man after 70 years, you know? Maybe, but he didn't quite get the swim. That's the cherry on top. 26.2. After, if you don't complete it in under 17 hours, you have not officially completed the Iron Man. I'm like, I'll be done after about 17 minutes, yo. I want to show you a video. This is a video of the 1997 World Championship Ironman, and it's the very end of the race. And my understanding is these are the first two women to cross the line. And you have to understand, a human body can only endure so much.
Right.
When I watch this video, at that point. Anybody ever been so exhausted you couldn't move?
Mm-hmm.
Last night, you know, after like a minute of a wall sit, all right? I'm like feeling it. Yeah, your body's broken. You've given it all. Let's watch it together.
Who's my man, Mark? What's his name?
You know, a lot of people, when they watch that, they laugh. And to a certain degree, so you know, I cry almost every time I see that. Because that's how I want to end my life. I don't want to bounce into heaven being like, what's up, everybody?
I prayed, it was easy, just chilling.
I don't want to end like that.
Right.
Come on, Kyle.
I want to crawl.
Yeah.
You know that's called the crawl? I want to crawl in because I got nothing left. I lived the revolution every day until the day I died, until my body broke down, until my I just couldn't handle anymore, until God took me away. Maybe I'll last 90 years, maybe I got a day. But until the day I die,
come on.
Every little bit of talent, every ounce of energy, every minute, every second, I don't want to waste any of it. I want to give it all. Some of you waste so much of your life on fruitless, useless things. I want to bounce in. What's up, guys? It was great. I want to just be like, and then God's like, bring him in. I don't know if you heard of the end. When she gets to the end, they say, she's finished. Pick her up. Take her home.
Wow.
I want to end.
Wow.
Take them home. I want that. Do you want that? Do you just want it when you hear it? Or do you want it every second of every day?
Come on, Kyle.
Man, when you study the Bible with people, are they like, whoa, this is serious stuff. And I hope if you're a guest with us today, I hope that this weekend you felt that from this group. And you know what? If you haven't, shame on why you haven't for whoever made you think that. Because this is real. This revolution is happening, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
You gotta get on board or get out of the way.
Wow.
Riding the coattails. You know, I know a lot of people who, not a lot of people, but there are people out there that are trying to reap the benefits of the church without the hardship of Christianity.
Come on, bro.
Get out of my way.
Preach it, man.
You're slowing me down. I got thousands of people to save, and you're sitting here like this. Man, repent or get out of the way, and I love you. You know, we gotta love people to the end.
Right.
Loving is exhausting work.
Right.
It's the best, it's the only work.
Right.
So I'm not gonna just kick somebody out if they have a bad day. That's not what I'm saying. Man, you might have a bad 10 years, but as long as you keep getting up off the mat and you keep confessing your sin,
come on,
and you get back out there, I love you for it.
Come on.
And I'm inspired by you. Man, don't be discouraged by sin. Just get up off the mat. And you keep going until you die. Look, Jesus could come back in like 3 minutes. And then you don't have to worry about it.
Mm.
Or he may not come back for 3,000 years. I have no idea. Every time something crazy happens, I'm like, it's happening. It's coming. There was an earthquake. There were 3 earthquakes. In Florida, there were like 20 hurricanes. Jesus is coming back.
That's my mom.
And then I'm like, people have been saying that for like 2,000
years. My mom, every Sunday.
The early Christmas time is coming quick.
It's raining.
Everybody get ready. We need to live like that because he's going to come back.
Come on, Kyle.
That sky's going to rip open and you're going to wish that you had lived it.
Come on, bro.
In that moment, you're going to be like, man. And if you lived it, you're going to be like, man, it's worth it.
Come on.
And there are going to be other people when you're floating up in the sky and they're going to watch you go. And they're going to think, I gave up.
Wow.
20 years, and I gave up.
Hmm.
If I could have just listened to that sister that was telling me the truth, I would have humbled out, but you didn't. Hmm. And so you're going to stay down here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be up there. Man, come with us. Don't wait. Don't stay here. Choose life.
Yeah.
Don't waste your life trying to find fulfillment in nothing.
Right.
In lies. It's empty. There's nothing here for you. When I go up. There's only one way to do it, is to live the revolution. It's not glamorous. There's not a lot of applause. There's not usually an audience. No fanfare, no cheering, no fame. 1 second the world will cheer you, and the next they're going to crucify you.
Right, right. Come on.
The secret life of the revolution is gritty. It's tough. But there is no life better. In Mark 10, I'm going to call myself to the stand as we close. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus says, no one who's left home or mothers or brothers or sisters or fathers or their own life for me in the gospel will not fail to receive 100 times as much in this life and in the life to come, along with persecutions. And you know what? I'm only 30 years old. I'm a young guy. And already in my life, I have felt this 100 times blessing.
Wow.
I don't need money. God's got that. I got all I need with Jesus. And then he gave me a gorgeous, intelligent, spiritual wife, an amazing son. Why? Because he loves me.
Yeah.
Did I earn that? No way. Why am I on this stage? Still trying to figure it out. But I figure I am here, so I'll preach the word.
Yeah.
This is real.
Mm.
Sometimes I sit down and I pray. And I'm just like, look, God, I don't know if I'm going to have another shot to tell you. I just want to tell you that I believe you're real and I love you.
Wow.
Because I got to remind myself sometimes, man. This is happening. This is real.
Yeah.
I need to live it every day.
Come on, bro.
We love you guys. Even if
Amen.
We don't know you that well. You know me better than I know you. We will be praying for you. The work you're doing is revolutionary. And I hope that in the preaching, I want to come across and be clear. This group to me is amazing. I think that you guys are living this out. I just want to remind you, inspire you, we love you. Allow me to say a prayer for you before Rob and Chelsea come up.
Come on. Mm.
Father God, we are totally in awe of you.
Yeah.
And we want to live the revolution because the revolution is live. It's real. We want to be revolutionary men, revolutionary women. And we just want to tell you if we don't have another shot. If you come back today, that we believe you're real and that we love you.
Mm.
Amen.
Amen. Love you.